Coast's 92.5 Triple M Gold.
With another Flan, Ali and Spider podcast.
Oh, we are full to the brim in this podcast. Thank you for joining us again for this. Serenity Safe Harbour is Byron Bay's original hippie wafting into the studio.
And it's an unusual day in Serenity's life, I have to say.
I actually thought
they smelt a bit like spam today.
All
right.
Spam and a little bit of... I was going to say something, but I thought I can't say that. You can say anything you like.
We're looking forward to Serenity being part of this podcast. Spam is not part of your life right now, Ali, as your fitness journey continues.
Yeah, look, I have been holding off the spam. Maybe I should just eat spam and nothing else. No carbs.
Spam.
How do you do it?
A bit of help coming in from...
You don't say ham, you say spam.
Someone from our Dead Set Legend show, who is a rugby league legend.
Ben Hannett, no less.
Yeah, that's him.
Represented his country.
Offering up some advice for you. We'll get to that coming up. He reckons he lost a lot of weight in a very short space of time.
With an unusual method.
Yeah. Spider, your spray on rugby league legends. Is Latrell Mitchell a legend in your eyes with your spray?
He's on the spam.
Yeah, you need a key to open the top of his jar.
All right. Latrell's done something that's caught your eye, that with the spray. Jack from Married at First Sight. On a Monday, we cover off all things maths.
We are going to pin him today, Al. Yeah. We're not going to let him get away with answers to questions about his relationship that are kind of here or there.
Yeah, all right.
He needs to be really honest with us.
You're going to be hard, mate.
And how are you going, Flan, with your conscience? Because you are a thief.
Yes, thank you.
Steal things, i.e. petrol.
Yeah, and look, it wasn't a big theft.
No.
$30.
No, of course not.
But I still got away with it.
Yeah.
And I've got a good cover story and an alibi.
Flan on the run.
Yeah, mate.
But someone did pay your petrol.
Oh, I know, what a goose.
No, well, we meet him in this podcast, which is great.
What a goose, because he's got no chance of getting it back.
Look, I've even got $30 right here in my wallet. Not getting it, Connor.
That is so funny, isn't it? Like back in the day when you'd put $5 petrol in.
Oh, my God.
Because that's all you had.
It would drive for a week.
Yeah. Yes. Did you ever run out? Like...
Yeah.
Where'd you run out of fuel? Like for your $30, as you say, you used to be able to scrimp and save and put $5 in or $2.95, whatever you had.
Crazy.
You had to make ends meet.
Yeah, and you're a student.
Did you ever break down?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. In fact, I used to keep a good book in my car.
Did you?
Yeah, because I knew it was going to run out somewhere.
That's hilarious, Flan.
I've spent quite a few hours in my car just waiting for a mate to turn up with a tin.
That's not
a bad hobby in
Sydney. But you think about back, you know, when we were growing up, you can't ring anyone.
No.
So you have to hitchhike.
Back in those days, you were stuck. You were walking with a tin in your hand. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. And you look at the speedo and you think, and imagine like a couple of my cars didn't, the fuel gauge didn't even work.
See, there you go.
So you're just predicting.
Yeah. Were you getting siphoned like I am?
Only after long drives like you.
What other things didn't work on those first cars? A mate of mine had his first car. His indicator on the left didn't work. So he'd stick his arm out of the window.
And go like that.
And go over the roof. I'm going left.
Oh, I love
going
that.
Left. That's good. Doris, you know, the Morris miner.
I reckon a lot of people would have had on the back of the Kingswoods that the symbol, the Kingswood, it was just writing.
Yeah.
And we'd flip it around so it said Kingswood poo. But I would have, we had a hole in the floor of the Kingswood, honestly.
Did it splash up through there when it was wet? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One of those rippers.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, I had the combi.
Mm.
Oh,
no, you did.
How long did you have a combi for?
Oh, a few years.
What happened in that?
Don't tell us.
I don't know.
How old were you when you got the combi?
Oh, well, Caitlin, who's my eldest, she was in a car seat on the front. On the front, and there was a...
How old's she now?
30.
So okay, so 30 years ago.
Good for you.
Dodgy.
What? What's wrong with having a combi?
Spider's mobile brothel.
Did you have the curtains on the windows?
Yeah.
No. And that's dodgy.
Thank you.
And you know what? Actually, it ended up being the Esky at my 21st.
Did you tip it over on its side?
No. I just drove it into the backyard, and when you open the door, okay, I put a piece of wood there, and I just put all the cans in the back and just chucked ice on it. And then mates got up, and because it had a massive roof rack on, big roof rack on it, they got up and played and sung from the roof of it. just remembered.
That's fantastic. Wish I was at that party.
Sounds like a good party, doesn't it?
I can tell you one of the players, I was about to say, no, he maybe enjoyed a little bit of relaxation those years, and my younger brother was, skinny, he was pretty young. He goes, how come he's lining up the hot dog van so many times?
Had the munchies, boys and girls.
You could drive around like that with the new Volkswagen Esky. Just leave it like full of cans and ice.
We did it before. We had another like little Suzuki hatchback, like it was only like a real little ute.
It was only a perfect Esky.
It's only myself and Dirty Zilla, two-seater, and we filled it up ready for a Mad Monday, and we're going to Dirty's joint to have the Mad Monday, and the back of it was full. So we're driving down the Pean Highway. It was ice overflowing with just a whole heap of cans, and Dirty goes, I'll have a can. He just put his arm around the back reach and grab on it.
You know you're in for a good weekend when you're travelling with a guy called Dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty Zilla.
Yeah. In an Esky.
Yeah. Big wheels.
All right. Here it is, the 92.5 Triple M Gold Breakfast Show podcast with Flan Alley and Spider.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. Serenity.
Byron Bay's original hippie Serenity Safe Harbour.
Transitioning to this plane.
Welcome and good morning, all.
Thank you. We didn't want to interrupt it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, thank you for dimming the lights, Peter Spider. As you well know, Ali, my Rainbow Province name that I adopted is Serenity Safe Harbour, but 'twas not ever thus. In 1990, I was voted Rockhampton's most frequently injured mayoral candidate.
Yes, indeed.
I ran under the nom de plume of Lady Starfish Freckle Speckle, and I was simultaneously Rockhampton truck stop's only psychic. All the rest succumbed to their injuries, as I know. Okay. Good time. Great rock and roll.
Sounds good.
For the first time in my life, Ali, I was sitting at the cool table of the fracture clinic, no less, but nonetheless, teaching the truckies to access their higher self and explore the predictive power of the universe. Well, it just saves time and money to hit yourself over the head with a pot. Congratulations, I must say, to Tom Tate, four times mayor. Do you say mayor? It's a mayoral election.
It's a mayoral.
The man.
Yeah, four times. Good gig.
Amazing. We will be working together in the near future on council election day. I spoke at the Irish Club, Byron Bay, for St. Patrick's Day, which is very big in Byron. I spoke about the wearing of the green, the rolling of the green, the inhaling of the spirit of the day. Oh, we breathe green in the bay, I said.
Oh, yes.
And that's how I became mayor.
Got
up in the gym just working on my fitness. He's my witness.
Yeah, well, 10 days to go, Ellie. You declared it. You said early December you'll lose 15 kilos before Easter.
Yeah, okay. But I forgot that I said that.
We brought it to your attention only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
but
thanks.
You know what? You got 10 days to do it. How are you feeling? How was the weekend? Look, come on.
You know, I will say this. I will admit this. I'm starting to feel a little bit less confident.
So what?
About losing the 15. Well,
you're at a hands weekend over the weekend.
Well, I was very good, Flan. I did procrastinate all morning about going for my jog. But I did go for a jog right
saw
before.
That.
Yes.
You worked hard, obviously.
Stupid, because it was hot.
But you still went south on the scales Friday.
So I'm still going down. I'm not going down as fast as what. Like that first week, I dropped 4 kilos.
Yeah.
So that just shows all the hoeing in I had been doing because I just cut that out, basically.
Yeah,
that's
the
all
hoeing
I did.
Stopped.
Yes, the hoeing stopped and I did start exercising. So I did drop 4 straight up, but I've only managed to drop another 1.
Okay. Well,
but you would have picked up some muscle mass too. Yeah,
well, that's right. And actually my trainer, Andre, he said, you know, you'll be gaining muscle. And actually Carlo, the salami man,
he said the same
thing because he used to be a trainer. He was like, you know, you'll be gaining muscle. And it's,
how does he go from a trainer to a sausage man?
Yeah, do you think you'll make the weight if you stop hanging around with people who give you salami out of the boot of their car randomly?
Look, I'm, as you know, I have been making the effort and I've been behaving with my food.
But it is bad.
I'm going to give myself this defense. It's bad timing. I had a hen's day yesterday. Saturday. And I've got a 50th weekend away next weekend, the whole weekend. Okay. As if I'm going to not drink.
Well, hang on, you're the one who said.
Eat nice food.
You're the one who said you'll lose 15 kilos by Easter. Okay, well, you
I
weren't
said
influenced.
That in December.
You weren't influenced by anybody else. But
you don't need to drink to have a good time.
On the Dead Set Legends over the weekend, Benny Hannett, he actually, NRL superstar.
Yeah.
Boxer, knows how to make a weight.
Absolutely. We'll have a listen to him because he's got some great advice for you that I reckon if you do this, there's still a possibility. You're making grade.
All right.
Yeah, it comes down to how disciplined she is. I'm a bit like a yo-yo. I can lose a lot of weight really quick. I did it on one of my previous shows. I lost 10 kilos in 1 week by just eating white fish and broccoli. That was it. And exercise.
What?
10 kilos in 1 week. You can do it, but I think Spider is going to get the upper hand here. He can throw out whatever he wants because that's a big ask in 2 weeks. She's going to either start marathon training, running over 10 kilometres a day, plus eating clean.
Oh,
a white fish. I call BS. You can't lose 10 kilos in 1 week simply by eating white fish and broccoli.
And
I've been eating that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been a bit generous with the number. But look, if you don't make the weight, Spider's turning up with a great big Bosch bin and he's going to chuck stuff out. And after the photo you sent me of your garage yesterday, I thought it looked like a train derailment. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. Gorge yourself and you'll get your house cleaned up.
Well, tomorrow we've got another challenge. So watch this. Could it be the white fish and broccoli? Could it be the marathon training?
No. And actually, I will give a shout out to all of the Triple M Gold family who are ringing in and trying to help and give their encouragement. We had a lady called Andy call about half an hour ago. She wants me to go deep water running with her at Southport Aquatic Centre tonight. So, Andy, thank you.
What time? All right. Yes,
maybe that's what I need.
Spider spray.
Okay, something over the weekend. Latrell Mitchell plays for the Rabbitohs, one of the great Indigenous players of our sport, NRL. And he got beaten quite convincingly against the Broncos. And after the game, live on Triple M, he got interviewed. And I'm going to play it. But for me, I say he's got to cop 1 or 2 weeks suspension. Now, a lot of people say that's unfair, but you think this is live radio. You know you're going live.
Mm-hmm.
Every sport is 100% live. As a player, you have a responsibility of knowing that we are live. The umpires are mic'd up and we understand in, games, and you could hear some language coming from players and they'll turn the mics down. Mm. But they can't dump anything. Everything is 100% live.
We have beeped out these, yeah.
It's all right, mate. Look, honestly, it was in the first bit, just a hard game. Showed what we were about, and honestly, they're big boys, they're competitors. You know, I wonder why they come, runner up last year. So, good on that. I don't care if I'm swearing, boys, honestly.
I don't care if I'm swearing, boys.
Yeah, that's we do.
Ridiculous. That, absolutely.
What about the parents in the car with the kids? You know, it's
absolutely.
Pathetic.
The kids who love footy and want to hear their hero speak after a game, yeah. That rubbish gets served.
Five F-bombs in one interview, and, as you say, he's on the way home, kids are in the car, it's live on radio around the country, so I find it disgusting. And what I find more disgusting is two other elements to this, is that Souths won't punish Latrell. They said, we're not going to punish Latrell. I think that is an absolute joke. And on the other, because, you got to think of your sponsors and a professional athlete, and as a professional sporting identity, you want to say, you know what, this isn't acceptable from our players.
I agree.
And then,
thank you.
This is what the CEO of the NRL come out today. This is a joke from Andrew Abdo. I'm horrified in the way what message he's sending out to all your NRL fans.
And NRL boss says
they're in a battle with the AFL and all this, but this is ridiculous. He said today, we will not punish Latrell. We encourage players to be themselves and be authentic. Okay?
He's lost his mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, do you want Jarryd Hayne to be himself or maybe John Hapawati, Craig Fields and Anthony Watts? Do you want to keep going through them? So you sit there and go, you make a comment like that, which is an absolute joke. I bet you if that comment was made at a press conference live with Ricky Stewart, he would have got 20 grand and 4 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Andrew Abdo would have come down absolutely hard. Or do you want Ricky to be himself? Do you want Ricky to be authentic and tell you what he really thinks? I just think Abdo has lost his mind. And if you do not punish, I think he should be punished. Abdo should be punished
yes.
for this as well as Latrell. You've got you know, so many sponsors and fans and Triple M who tip in so much money and broadcast this game live, and you're really popping in the faces of everybody out there. So for me, I reckon we've got to get Dobbo on and find out why he didn't drop the call anyway, who actually did the interview, and he is from, you know, the drive show here on Triple M. But for me, I think Andrew Abdo needs to explain why he's allowed this not to have any punishment.
You've been sprayed by Spider.
Dobbo's joining us right now from the Rush Hour with Liesl, Jones, Liam and Dobbo. Dobbo, you know what? I found this is a disgrace. How do you take it?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hey, Dobbo. Great to be with you. Look, I've got to be honest with you. I'm a bit perplexed by the fact that he says... I understand that there's not the punishment. I was the bloke who interviewed Latrell on the field post-match. Now, South Sydney were beaten. Spider, you're a former professional athlete. Let's not start throwing rocks at blokes using bad language.
No, hang on. I can hear Dobbo because that is... Yeah. I'll never, ever, ever... Don't matter if I got beaten by 100 points, if I was up on assault charges or whatever, I'd never, ever, ever speak to the media like Latrell.
He's not the first. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, he's not the first, but that he knows your life. That is an absolute disgrace, and he needs to be stood down. And I'm going to be hard and fast on this. He has taken the NRL back 10 years.
What are you standing down for, though, swearing?
Absolutely. Live on television with all the kids. Well, I'd step
no, it was live on radio and it was at 9:40 at night.
Doesn't matter what time it is.
I agree with that, that he's a professional. It's not a rookie. He did it deliberately. I don't think it was an accident. I agree with all of that. But, I mean, let's, in the whole scheme of what is bad with the NRL, dropping an F-bomb on radio at 9:47 at night compared to some of the crap that's gone on and that has been let go isn't, to me... the worst thing. Was he immature? Yes. Does Andrew Abdo need to come out and then put some rules around it? 100%. And I'm perplexed that he says, we want people to be freed, like, you know, to be creative and let people say what they want and, you know, not try and sanction them. I don't understand that from Andrew Abdo. But I don't think in the whole scheme of things it was the worst thing that's happened.
No, Dobbo, that's 5 legitimate known F-bombs. I don't care what time of day it is. It takes the NRL back 10 years. And you know what it does? It turns people off a game that you're trying to build. For me, I think it was disrespectful and I would be sanctioning absolutely. You've got to cut out the small things or these bigger things happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's an argument there. I just think that Latrell Mitchell... He's a face of the game. I think that
That's a disgrace then.
Well, he has some pull. I mean, he's done a lot of work in the Indigenous community.
Don't pull that card on me, Dobbo.
What card is it? Like, what?
The problem is it sets a precedent. And I think, and I know what you're saying, Dobbo. Obviously, he's passionate. It's late at night. I do. I actually, well,
how many weeks do you think he should get for swearing, for saying the F word? How many weeks do you think he should get?
I'm not necessarily saying he should be suspended and still down from games. He absolutely should be copping a massive fine because...
Fines don't care.
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe the suspension he does. I don't know about what the punishment should be, but what he shouldn't do, Abdo shouldn't do, is come out and not absolutely slam this and acknowledge... All, and you know what? You can't say, I know you appreciate you saying it's late at night. There's still kids in the car. There's still families driving home from Saturday night barbecues. He has to come out and acknowledge that and come down harder than just saying we encourage him to be authentic. It's pretty...
Dobbo, we're running out of time, but thank you very much, Dobbo. I reckon 1 or 2 weeks, and I think, as Ali said, you know, like, this has been shared over 200,000 times, so, you know what, it has been a massive kick in the guts for the NRL. Dobbo, thank you.
If there's one thing you do know how to do, Dobbo, it's create some headlines. You've created some today.
Well done, and thanks, Dobbo.
See you guys.
On Listener, this is the Flan, Ali and Spider podcast.
Maths.
Yes, it is. We absolutely love Married at First Sight. It airs tonight through to Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9 and 9 Now. And look, we have to admit we're very excited to have... I didn't say this, Jack, but you're being called the man that everyone loves to hate. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, guys. I can handle that introduction. Thank
you. Can I set this up, Jack? Because, look, Ali and Flan, not massive fans of yours. But you always go to him. You always want to talk to Jack. Mm-hmm. You're not a fan, but you always want to.
He's always on offer.
Okay. You're not a fan. You always want to talk to him. Where I am, I don't even watch the show, Jack. You've come in here once. You know what? You're my man. I love you.
He's a fan because you're a fan of his.
Yeah. So if we were a celebrity 100%. Couple, we'd be called SPAC.
There you go.
Spider and Jack.
Look, I think it's fun to have the controversial conversations anyway. If you just have the easy ones, they get a bit boring.
Yeah, they do get boring. Well, actually, let's have a listen to some of your couch action from last night.
I need to know how you feel about Tori, because I'm not buying it.
I like her a lot. Yeah, she makes me feel good. She makes me feel...
Oh, don't give me good. Far too long in this experiment for words like good, okay, all right, not bad.
I'm actually sleeping really well.
I feel like you can describe it a little bit better than that.
I've never been asked about my feelings like that before.
Jack, honestly, night after night, week after week, you are being called totally full of it, not only by the other contestants, but by the experts. I mean, do you wish you'd never signed up for this?
Nah, I enjoyed it. It's really strange. I reflect back on it now, and it was brutal when I was doing it, hey. Like, I mean, it was very challenging, and whilst I was doing it, it wasn't a hell of a lot of fun. There was a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of shit coming my way, but reflecting back on it now.
Latrell, calm down, will you?
Just got to warn you, mate, you can't swear, okay?
Live on the radio, guys.
I know it might be a bit hard for you to work it out, but, you know, we've just got to be careful.
Yeah. Oh, that's
just, Al, back off. That was me now.
Yeah, so what were you saying, Jack?
My apologies. And, no, I do reflect on it now. I'm always apologising. And it was wild. It was a wild journey, and I don't take it back. Last night's couch session, John railed me, hey, like he'd asked me, that went for about an hour, you only saw probably 7 minutes, but he wanted something from me. I felt like he wanted me to say I was starting to fall in love with Tori, and I felt a little bit off the hook when she turned around and said she's not in love with me, because I didn't know what he was looking for.
Did you feel relief because you're not in love with her, so you were happy to hear her say she's not in love with you?
100%, because we're trying to get through to the experts. The entire time, we felt like our relationship was pretty much on par, and we've known each other for 7-8 weeks. We're not in love, absolutely not, but we do enjoy each other, and our relationship was on a nice trajectory. Like, it was growing week in and week out. We didn't have massive ups and downs, so it was actually healthy, you know. It was always developing, and like I said, we hadn't done the deed yet, but we were getting more and more physical with each other every week.
Jack, I couldn't help notice then you said our relationship was growing.
Good pick
that
up.
That was past tense. I've got to put this to you, and my daughter won't let me live if I don't. I don't know anybody that believes that you're fair dinkum about Tori. Why is that? Why can't you give the impression that you're serious about her? No one's buying it, as John, the expert, said last night.
This will sound like another excuse, but what you see, and when we do sit on the couch, for whatever God-given reason, we're never talking about the fun times that Tori and I have. And I get it. I watch it back now and I'm confused. But, you know, we always had good times back at the apartment when we were on our little dates together. If you guys were seeing the way we laughed with each other and we joked around and fooled around and we just enjoyed each other, but no one gets to see it. And then you sit on the couch in front of the other contestants and they're not talking about our happy moments. They're not talking about our breakthroughs that we're having in our relationship. It's normally the stuff that I've said that I shouldn't have said.
That's what I was going to say, because they repeat you saying that you're not attracted to her, you're not sexually attracted to her. I mean, you must hate it when they bring that up time and again.
It's frustrating because I do. We're battling out there and we want people to see our relationship and why it does work, but you sit down and you don't get to design the questions. And John even said last night, as soon as Jack sat down, he's like, righto, I'm not going to talk about your past indiscretions, yet a minute later, he's dragging me through all my past indiscretions again. So
can I ask?
Maybe you should be one of the experts.
Just looking at those photos, do you still... Yeah, you know, the age of 34, a bit concerning, and I'm a massive fan of yours, Jack, I've learnt. Have you still got your nipple ring?
I'll tell you one thing. I do. I've had it since I was 17, and I used to play footy with it in. I used to tape it, but I could never take it out because it wouldn't go back in. So I've had it ripped and pulled that many times. That nipple would look worse if I didn't have the jewelry, and so I just keep it in there.
Okay. What is the purpose of the nipple ring?
Does it make you more? Like your keys when you go into the pub, so you don't lose them.
That's it.
Oh, look, I thought it was cool when I was in high school and I was about 16 and we're on a footy trip and we'd had a few beers and we probably shouldn't have, and there was about three of us on this footy trip, went and got our nipples pierced and had it in ever
since. That's a small footy team.
All right.
If I had two, Bob, for every nipple I had pierced.
Yeah. Nipple ring stories with Jack for another time.
All right, Jack, I'm going to give you one last. Come
Here's
on.
One last tough question, Jack.
I want to know, what would you rate yourself out of 10? With your personality. Here's your opportunity. Come on, back. Do you back yourself? What do you give yourself out of 10 for personality?
Oh, look, you've got to back yourself. Everyone's got flaws. I think what I'm seeing on the show, I'd rate that, Jack, about 4.
Okay.
In real life, if you get to know me, I think I've got a bit to offer. I'd probably give myself maybe 7.5.
What about in the sack?
Yeah, what about in the bedroom?
Let's not. Really?
Come on.
Well, you might want to get Tori on after home stays and you can ask her.
Spoiler.
Okay, we will. We'll
Did
ask
something
her.
Happen on the home stays, Jack? Did you and Tori go to the next level?
Like I said, I won't spoil too much, but if you get her on next week, she might have another story for
you. All right. Thanks, Jack.
Another story, Tori. Thanks, Jack, from Maths.